As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I think it's deeper in certain areas than others. Usually the cutoff is a little bit quicker, I think, once you kind of get into 2-3. And this one's going to be a little bit different. So I think there's going to be a lot more movement than there has been in the past.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. It is draft day, and it's going to be wild.
Is it?
Well, didn't he say that?
He just said it, but yeah. Did he mean it? And do you trust it?
No, I don't trust it. You know what's weird about draft day?
What?
Is that this is the first draft where you haven't had any trades at all.
Hasn't been active at all.
It's 7 a.m.
It's very odd.
They have yet to have a trade. Normally,
keep an eye on the ticker, though. It could start to happen this morning.
And then it's really going to happen. Then it's 15, 25, 32 trades.
I don't think so.
Every pick traded.
I'm surprised it has been very dormant. The market has not been percolating. And maybe Ryan Poles will be right, but it would be a sudden shift in activity. I think that my hope for the Bears is that they don't make it wild, that they don't overthink it, and they don't overspend draft capital that they should really save, preserve, and invest. I think for the Bears,
yes,
they are at the stage of their growth where they're not one player away from getting to the Super Bowl.
No.
They're a roster that needs elite players and talent, special players that can make an impact, and you want players that you can envision being starters on your Super Bowl team. Said that early in the week. The same remains true this morning. Don't overthink it, Ryan Poles. Don't overreach for a player that might put you might think puts you over the top. Be patient. Stay at 10. Take your guy and be ready to pounce again tomorrow when the second round arrives.
They have an advantage in this draft. That advantage can be found at the beginning of the second round, that they are the team that will be able to get three guys in the building or, you know, under contract designated for them before 24 teams get their second.
It's a great stat.
It's huge.
It's an advantage that they have over everybody else. And so, you know, you don't squander that advantage. You don't spend money just because you have it. You don't spend draft capital just because you own it. You need to be, I think, responsive to the board and the way that it falls. Now, we both predicted, ironically enough, or projected. These are all projections, right?
I'm not predicting anything.
We're not predicting, but I think
I think it's going to be the guy left there is going to be a tight end. And
yes.
That's what you think
and
as
I had Colston Loveland going to the Bears. You have Tyler Warren going to the Bears. The board could fall a certain way. Now, let's also share, or at least make sure we cover, what has been reported and what you kind of hear in terms of the undercurrent. Both Albert Breer and Pat Leonard from the New York Daily News reported yesterday, these reputable outlets, that the Bears are one of the teams they hear trying to move up. Don't know how high, Don't know for what. There could be a couple different things. Mason Graham could be a defensive tackle out of Michigan that you could understand why they would want to move up. That's a need area. Also would be a value pick. He's got the highest floor of probably any defensive lineman in this draft. Not named Abdul Carter. The other one about Ashton Gentry. To me, that would be the riskiest move that Ryan Poles could make tonight, is if he gives up whatever it would take to move up. A second rounder would be a good start. That's what teams are going to ask, at least. One of your second rounders this year, I would imagine. And that would be the riskiest move. If they move up, they come fixated on Gentry, that they want to move up to as high as five to draft him. To me, that might be a little high. As much as I have fun with the idea of Ashton Gentry, as much as I came to work this morning with my with my Sonny Weaver reminder, Ashton Gentry, no matter what, I understand that that might be too high of a price to pay in my world, and I hope that they stand pat. And if Gentry drops to them at 10, you can't make that pick fast enough.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that the Boise State running back could be one of the more impactful players in this draft. I don't think you doubt about that. But I do think that, you know, from all accounts, he's also one of the kind of key figures in the draft. Like, he could go as high as fourth, which I doubt he would.
That would be the fifth consensus. That's as high as he could go.
The highest he could go would be if somehow the Patriots decided to take him at fourth.
They might.
Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't? Why?
It doesn't make sense because I think they really need a left tackle, and I think Will Campbell's going off the board.
I think he's off the board there as well.
Yeah.
That'd be my projection.
That's my guess.
So we have Cam Ward at one,
then you
Travis
go,
Hunter two.
Yes.
Abdul Carter three.
That's what it looks like.
Okay.
And then four, you get.
Can I ask you a silly question?
Will Campbell, yes.
Do you think
there are no silly questions?
Well,
every question.
All right. This seems a little bit out there, but did it cross your mind when you saw some of these reports from Breer and New York Daily News that the Bears could be exploring a way to talk to the Giants or have a conversation to see what it would take to move up to third to draft Abdul Carter?
You know, that would be the guy is who I believe is going to go there. I think that, you know, why would you go higher than you had to get a player? So in other words, if you feel like Gentry could go to you at four or five, why would you trade to three?
To get Carter.
That's what I'm saying.
So I wonder, do you think that Ryan Poles, you know, they wanted, we learned yesterday or this week, that they wanted Abdul Carter to come visit Howell's Hall.
Yeah.
Nobody needs to, you don't have to be a football savant to understand the impact he's going to make on whatever roster he joins. This guy is going to be a game wrecker for years to come, provided he stays healthy, provided the medical rechecks were clean. So I wonder, in these reports, one out of New York, one from Albert Breer, if the Bears could be exploring ways to move up, not necessarily for Gentry, but for Abdul Carter.
Yeah, I think, listen, I don't understand moving up for Gentry, just because, as we said, you're not one player away unless somehow Ben Johnson feels that's the key to the play action game, that something about the way that he plays is what would trigger some great play action success for his offense.
Okay.
But I think the problem is that there are a lot of other running backs that are in this class too. And as we mentioned, there's like six guys that look like they could be Pro Bowl players at some point or other in this class.
All right, I want to get back to the running backs, but I want the Carter issue.
The Carter issue.
Do you think that he would be worthy of that kind of draft capital that we're saying they should not squander on a running back? Would you be more understanding of that being the haul if the return is Abdul Carter?
I think that's a real haul. It's just a really big haul.
It would be.
I don't know that I can answer that because I haven't seen the medicals. I haven't. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think if it's just if you're telling me that you're going to get Micah Parsons and you're going to trade up to do it, I would say do it.
Do it.
Right.
I have a different philosophy when everything I said about Ashton Gentry and the risk involved. There would be less risk involved for Abdul Carter because of the player that he is, except and unless those medicals are as cloudy as you might suggest, or as they'd have to know.
But when you think about positions where it is hit or miss, defensive ends are kind of hit or miss. There are a lot of really good defensive ends who've gone really high in a draft. There are a lot of guys who've gone really high in a draft who didn't end up being really good.
That's a great point, and I think it brings us back to number 10. Brad Biggs, our guy Biggsy, he mocked in his final mock draft Mykael Williams to the Bears at number 10.
See, now that's a pick that makes sense to me. Dustin doesn't like it because he thinks Georgia players are too good for Chicago. But I think that
– he never said that.
That's how he feels. So
I think you took a quantum leap of something
really didn't.
There.
I mean, do we want to do that again?
No.
Haven't we seen track athletes from Georgia not know how to tackle
I
and hurt their neck?
I don't think that Leonard Floyd has anything to do with Mykael Williams at all. And I hate those kind of comps. I don't think it has anything to do
with one to the other. Here's the thing about Mykael Williams is that if he had had a healthy senior season, where would he be going in this draft? How much damage can that guy do if indeed he is like healthy and ready to go? Something that we didn't see from him. He had to overcome.
Yeah.
He played, but he played hurt all year long.
He played hurt and he played well.
And he played well. And he's a guy that could really do some damage. He could be a really good pro, Dustin.
Yeah, I think he could be a good pro. I guess my point is, if they get to that point, if that's where they're sitting, if things, you know, that would mean everything did not go their way. I mean,
but I don't think everything's going their way. I don't think they're going to have their choice of every player.
To be determined.
There could be offensive tackles off the board. You know, I want to be true to the way I looked at the draft. When we were talking about it a year ago, and the way I looked at it before they signed some offensive linemen, and the way I still look at it, which is you need stability in the trenches.
You do. Mykael Williams will help you to stabilize the defensive line and pass rush.
No question.
He is only 260 pounds. He
doesn't fit the criteria.
Sorry about that, Dustin. I think that if they're going to draft a defensive player at 10, I would hope that it would be Mason Graham. If not, I think...
I don't see any way Mason Graham falls to 10.
Well, I see a way, but it's a remote... You know,
he's
we can
too
always...
steady.
We're always going to be surprised. There's always going to be somebody that's passed.
But doesn't it feel like... I'm watching some of these mock drafts, and I'm looking at them, and I'm like, yeah, that's the worst-case scenario. Man, that's really a bad
one.
I don't know that it's... When we talk to our lads... we were told, Will Campbell's going to get there.
David Sivertson was very,
I think he
staunch
was,
in that
I
opinion.
He was just throwing us a bone.
You think he was?
I don't know.
To the audience?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I know, but I'm saying he's giving you the player that would be perfect for what you need.
One mock draft also had the Bears trading down, I think it was Peter Schrager's, with the Colts and going to 14, and the Colts coming up to get Loveland. Now,
yes.
I don't like the idea necessarily of at 10, the Bears drafting Kelvin Banks Jr. if he's the third offensive tackle off the board, because I think if you're drafting a 10th and you get the third guy at a position, you can do better than that. I would rather see a different position addressed if that's the case and they stay there.
Who did the Bears take in that scenario?
Kelvin Banks at 14.
Oh, Kelvin Banks at 14. Okay,
yeah. Now, Kelvin Banks at 14 might be better than Kelvin Banks at 10. That said, he is a true left tackle. We'll wait and see, but I'm not totally one of those guys sold on Kelvin Banks.
Could you get someone like Nolan
a good solution
at 14?
Possibly.
What would you get in return? I mean, we also, going back a couple days, I think at least Mully and I for sure, maybe you too, David, all in on the trading back. So if that scenario played out.
I'm not all in on trading back.
No, if that scenario you just laid out, which I think is interesting, like going from 10
but
to 14.
But they're going up for a tight end.
What would the Bears get in return?
But you understand, they're going up for a tight end.
Oh, I understand.
So there'd be a tight end there that you're passing on.
The Colts need a pass-catching tight end. The coach said so publicly the other day. They've been very transparent there. What would it take to move up four spots for the Colts? I think they'd have to give up. I'd have to see what their second round picks are like. I think that might be a little high, so it might be a third round pick. And a third round pick, if you trade to move up four spots, you're giving the Bears, theoretically, remember, this is Ryan Poles taking him third round. Theoretically, you're getting a player you expect to start. Or you'd be in the mix.
I like that scenario.
You do?
I like the idea of trading back and getting that extra draft capital.
I don't, and I'm cynical. You know why? And I don't like my response to this, but I don't like it because of the past third-round failures that they have had. Well, I see Velus Jones, and I see Kieran Amagaji.
It's a great point.
And
it's
I see why
point.
Would you give Ryan Poles another opportunity to disappoint
don't,
us?
Don't forget his guy, Zach Pickens.
You're giving Ben Johnson,
thank you.
You're giving Ben Johnson another tackle. Poker chip. You're giving Ben Johnson another poker chip. That's why. Because this is Ben Johnson's draft. It's not Ryan Poles' draft.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Okay. Thank you. But you know what, Dustin? You saying that, if this is Ben Johnson's draft, then stay at 10 and take your tight end and give him another toy. Give him a luxury item.
And here's the thing, Dustin. I think that, you know, you understand that Ben Johnson is the head football coach and that he has not been scouting and monitoring players all year long and going to every game. And you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like, I agree with you that he should get to pick the 10th pick. I have no problem with that, whether it happens to be a running back, whether it happens to be a tight end, whatever he chooses. I think that you've got to give him that leeway. He is your boss if you're the general manager, because the guy makes twice as much money as you do, and there's no getting past that. But I don't know that he could, that you could let him venture into the second round.
Yeah, I wonder about that.
To pick 30.
I wonder
Has
about that.
Has he gone through enough? I think what you, ideally, he tells you the position he wants.
Yeah.
And then you
and
present
then you let
him.
Your scouts and your executives do their jobs.
Well, I think you nailed it right there. And I agree with you 100% because I don't believe in more than that. Is that he will say, I want the best running back in your eyes at this spot.
Yeah, and I think
that's going to be, you know, we're working together in tandem, which we've
and
heard
you trust.
A lot. But here's some, you know, who's somebody
and
we really
and
respect?
And the guy gives you three names, and you look at tape, and you
and you can live with any of them.
Yes.
Because you're a good enough coach to call plays and scheme ways to get the most out of their talent.
And I'm sorry, what did
no,
you
no,
say?
But going, like Coach Wanstead, we all respect,
yes.
and we all know
tonight,
also that Coach Wanstead is going to be leaning defense. And you guys present, you know, Biggs presented a defensive pass rusher from Georgia mm-hmm. with the 10th pick. Mm-hmm. But if we got to, let's say we get to the 10th pick and the second tight end is there and the top.
Who's the second tight end, Warren or Loveland?
Loveland, I think, by
all
across
right.
the board.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying,
fine.
Big picture.
Finish the scenario.
Loveland's there, but this pass rusher's there. Who do you take?
I think Loveland, because I do believe that if he's higher on your board and you have an offensive-minded head coach, it would be consistent with the offseason's approach.
But what Coach Wanstead said was, basically, did you watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah, he said that about Mason Graham. He didn't say that about Michael Williams necessarily.
No, I mean, the idea, though, is that you can't have enough guys.
I watched the Super Bowl.
You
got to
bring it in waves. You got to wear down that offensive line.
Who played in the Super Bowl?
It's a good point. It's worth remembering.
But I just wonder. That's why I think, again, this draft tonight is so darn interesting.
It is very interesting.
Is it really interesting? Because
I
got to tell you, I think the problem with this draft is that, you know, we sit here and we say, oh, there are six, maybe seven, when in reality there might be three. And then you sit here and you say, well, they can get this guy or that guy, when in reality you could get that guy five picks later. Like that,
it's fun,
and I think,
no.
Oh, I know you love it.
I know.
You know I love it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that the problem that I have, that's a good answer. The Colts want a tight end so they could come up to 10. That is a good answer of a team that would move up for something specific. But for the most part, why, if everybody is picking from the same stuff, why would I feel like I got to move to 10 if I'm at 15?
Just accumulate
and
picks.
Neither.
I agree
gone
with
down.
You.
I'm just saying.
80 would be the number pick that the Colts would give up. The 80th
pick.
Yeah. Yep. Third rounder in the 80th pick.
Right.
And I would not trust Ryan Poles to pick the right guy there. Only because he hasn't.
Well, why don't you give that round to Ian Cunningham? And then you make that announcement.
20 minutes.
And you
to
let
talk
everyone
about it.
Know. Yeah.
Like, he's available.
Hey, once I make this pick, hire me for it.
Because then they'll get another third
and
round.
And then you guys will get another
yeah,
one.
Yeah, they can take next year. Hey, what would you do tonight if Ben Johnson is the one who announces the pick or gives a pick and he busts into a rhyme? What would you do? What rhymes with Genty?
You know.
Does he have somebody on retainer? Does he have a writer? Because he didn't write that poem.
Oh, come on.
He didn't.
Come on.
He admitted he didn't.
He put it together. He had
farmed
help.
It out.
Ode to a first-round pick. You're not appreciating what that guy did. We'll bring in Dan Wiedler.
Yeah, he'll know.
And we'll talk to Dan about the various scenarios and why there haven't been any trades made yet and how many players are Bears going to wind up with eventually. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Dan Wiedler.
You've got a guy with credentials, you've got a guy with some qualifications, and now there's just when done at its best provides a level of steadiness and stability that helps create and stimulate success.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
Listen, we're not going to accept the status quo. We are going to push for more. We are going to strive for more.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Dan Wiedler with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Bear down. Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our friend Dan Wiedler. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Dan, good morning. Here it is. The day is upon us. It is draft day.
We made it. We made it. Let the excitement begin and let these next 48 hours be a fun ride for everybody on the roller coaster.
What do you expect? Is it going to be wild? And what do you make of the afternoon reports that the Bears are looking to move up for, well, we can think it's Ashton Jeanty. We can think it's Mason Graham. We don't really know. But what do you make of the reports from yesterday?
Yeah, we tell these jokes every year on draft weekend that the Bears might move up, they might move down, or they might stay at 10, right? So all those things are on the table right now. I do think, David, that they are shopping, right, and figuring out what a trade-up would cost, what it would look like. You have a team that doesn't necessarily feel that it's got the glaring roster holes that a lot of 12-loss football teams have, and so that gives them a little bit of flexibility. It gives them the chance to be aggressive if so desired and figure out what the price tag would be for trying to go get one of these elite players that might be on the board.
I still don't think they're a player away, Dan. I don't know if you feel differently. If there is
definitely
one
not.
Guy – yeah. That's my problem with the idea of giving up anything. I also feel like they have an advantage, which is the top of the second round. I don't want them to mess with that. I don't like the idea of what it might cost to move up.
So I'm with you 96% with those sentiments. If you were giving up your three to move up, would
right.
you be better with that? If you kept 39 and 41 and then you moved up to say 7 or 8 and played a little bit around with the day 3 capital to make that trade work.
The boogeyman round, the one
yes,
where the general manager is challenged.
That's okay.
Get rid of that
us.
One, right? Like,
but Dan, you make a really here. Interesting distinction. I think the 2 second round picks, we view them, most people view them as potential starters. The third round pick, if you're going to dangle that, it's a high third round pick, but if you're willing to give that up to move up a couple spots for a player that's going to be conviction about, yeah, I could buy that.
We talk about these blue players, right, and how many you need. Remember, Bill
yes.
Polian gave the consultant's view a couple years ago and saying you need 10 or 12 to just start dreaming about being in contention, and the Bears need to add more top tier elite players to their roster. And so if there's an avenue to do that tonight, I'm all for Ryan and Ian and whatever involvement Ben has to pursue the conversation and just figure out what that looks like. And I think we all kind of feel like the first few picks tonight are going to be locked in with Sharpie pretty quickly. And then there's about 10 different avenues that this draft could pivot down, and you just got to be ready for all of them.
Dan, you know, one of the problems that I have when we talk about the number of blues and how you put that together and what you do with it is, like, what we're saying is there is not much there are not many people that are trying to move up, so therefore
yeah.
if you move up, it'll be cheaper than it costs in most years, and you can throw out the draft chart that Jimmy made because it no longer applies. It has to do with kind of need and how many people are going to give you anything, and if you want to move down, you're going to have to accept this. That's all fine and well, and I
sure.
have no problem with that. I just wonder, you know, the Bears give away a lot of later draft picks, and I'm not maybe giveaway is the wrong idea. They trade away a lot of draft picks. They do it for, you know, various offensive linemen that have played or haven't played, for various, for depth at a pass rush or whatever it might be. There's tons of fifth and sixth round picks that seem to have been moved over the years and constantly moved. And I'm not saying that that's a bad idea, because you need to be able to replenish your team. But I don't know how many picks they actually need if they're not Blues, right? And that's why I don't worry about the third round pick. But as David right. pointed out, part of that is because they don't do well in that round. And that's why I'm, you know, you should do better.
And you feel scarred by
round.
It.
Yes.
No question. And so, look, you bring up a good point, because where is their fourth round pick for this year? Well, they used it last year to draft Austin Booker a year early, and they moved back into the end of last year's draft. The sixth round pick for this year, that was traded last August for Daryl Taylor, who came in and got you, what, 2.5 sacks? And his 1 year with the Bears. And so those picks are out the window. You know, you traded away a pick for Ryan Bates a little bit ago as well. That's not in this year's draft, but it's an example of what you're talking about. And so you've got to figure out how to maneuver this particular draft. And with one of the points you make, there's this idea that this draft is really deep through like 80, 85 prospects on the board. And so that's why some of these teams that are really bad in the top 5, 6, 7, 8, want to add selections, because they think that if you can add 72 from the Bears, now all of a sudden you've got a chance to add more to your roster that you deemed is more needy than the Bears deem theirs to be. So it's going to be fascinating to watch this all unfold. You know, I always love Saturday night of the draft, because you start to get a little bit more clarity from the decision makers about how they made their decisions. And then in the weeks ahead, you'll get an idea of what they thought of certain prospects and certain parts of the board that helped them come to the decisions that they came to.
Where are you on running back Ashton Jeanty, and how much of the Bears' interest in him is real and perceived?
Yeah, I mean, look, like when you're talking blue players, there seems to be a consensus around the league that this is a blue player, that this is a guy that 6 or 7 years from now we'll all say, yeah, he's a undeniable star in the NFL. Like, he's got the potential to be one of these guys that is an every year difference maker, every week difference maker. And so the idea of bringing him into your offensive huddle to make life easier on Caleb Williams, to make life more fun for Ben Johnson, is certainly there on the table. And I would think that they've done their homework. They figured out what everybody in that room feels about him. And now you just have to decide what the cost is to go get him. And that's the other part about this draft is, you know, there's some sentiments that it's so unpredictable that some of these guys that you're eager to trade up for might actually still be there for you at 10. Jeanty's one that I don't think will be there at 10, but there's plenty of scenarios where he is, you know? And so you've got to play that game and figure out what your patience level is. And then if you do miss on a guy like that, what are options B, C, and D? And they seem to be pretty plentiful in this draft, the way the board breaks.
We know the names, Dan. We know who the star players, with air quotes, are at various positions. But is this a year where there is more, there's more argument within the position groups about who those players are? In other words, is this a slotted draft? Do you feel like, okay, you know, here we're going here, there, maybe him or her, whatever. I don't know how that would work out in terms of you having a specifically different idea than other teams do.
I think that's where it's wide open. Like, tight end's a position where, you know, you're almost split on is it Tyler Warren or Colston Loveland that's the better prospect in this class. The edge rushing class, once you get beyond Carter and Jalen Walker, there's a group of about 5 or 6 guys that are just kind of a pick your flavor, and they're all filled with gamble, right? Like, there's a dice roll that has to be made there. Offensive tackle is one where you have to decide what traits mean the most to you. And so you've got this, you know, and one of those traits is, do you play on the left side or the right side, right? And we heard Ryan Poles the other day leave the door open for the idea of Darnell Wright potentially, you know, auditioning at the left tackle position if they find something on the right side that suits them. And so, I do think it's wide open from a position by position basis. I did ask Daniel Jeremiah a question last week about kind of the Bears' MO and how they should navigate this. And he said he would be really, really hesitant to wait until day two to take an offensive tackle if you are hellbent on adding another starting offensive tackle in this draft. And so that's something to keep in mind tonight.
We don't talk about it a lot, Dan, but if it does get as wild as Ryan Poles suggested, I wonder if that includes trading with other teams and for players who are veterans. I wonder about Travis Etienne in Jacksonville if they go and draft Ashton Jeanty. I wonder about what the Bengals are going to do with Trey Hendrickson, because we still haven't had much resolution to that rumor. And I just wonder if you're hearing anything along those lines and if you would be surprised if the Bears went in that direction.
Yeah, I don't have any sizable chatter in that department. Not sure what would happen in that regard. I think, you know, that will all remain to be seen, and this draft board will evolve in a way that maybe brings some things into play. Jacksonville has seemed like a wild card for a while in this draft. You got a very, very young first-time general manager, a young first-time head coach, and they're jumping into these waters for the first time. And so I think a lot of people are eager to see what exactly they're going to do, and that could be a pivot point tonight, you know, somewhere around 7:45, where this whole draft turns in a direction that we might not have expected it to.
Dan, we talked a little bit, and we asked Big Z his take on the whole issue with left tackle with Kieran Amagaji. You know, here was a guy who was a third-round pick a year ago. You would think that this would be the year where he started to make a move. You know, we don't have a lot to base it on because he didn't have a camp, and then the moment you saw him, it was kind of subpar, and we only saw him the one time. And do you have any idea where he is at in terms of his injury, his workout regimen, if he's ready to make any kind of impact? That's a high draft pick, a third-round pick. Are they going to get anything out of him? Do we have to wait till the pads come on? What is your take on him?
Yeah, and that's the thing. As you guys know, with offensive line evaluations, you can do a ton of stuff to teach and grow during the spring, but it's not until those pads come on in August that you really start to understand what you have in a guy. And it looks like that's why the idea of kind of leaning into either Braxton Jones or Kieran Amagaji starting at left tackle for you when the regular season starts is risky, because Braxton Jones is coming back from a pretty serious season-ending injury that even his new offensive line coach said, hey, like, don't understate the climb that's going to be just to rehab that thing in the proper way. And so I think you have to address the tackle position in this draft. And Amagaji just hasn't shown you anything because of the health issues to give you, you know, the relaxation and comfort you need to put your head on the pillow saying, okay, he's definitely our starting left tackle in front of our, you know, franchise quarterback that we want to be a star for the next 20 years.
All right, Dan, before we let you go, what's your pick? What do you predict? Who are they taking at number 10 if they stay there?
Wonderful option of 12 players on our big board at ChicagoTribune.com this morning that John Hammond and I worked on. I'm going to go with Calvin Banks Jr. for you. And wow. It's not the sexy pick. It's not the one that everyone's going to celebrate tonight. But I do think with the discussion we just had about fortifying your offensive line, that's a guy that will be very, very steady and comes to the organization with a lot to offer, both from a skills standpoint and a character standpoint. So I'm going to go there for now with the understanding that this is just a blind guess.
Good stuff, Dan. Thank you, buddy.
Great. Thanks, Dan.
All right, guys. Enjoy the night.
You too.
Yes, have a good night for sure. That is fun stuff.
Kelvin Banks.
Good. Yeah.
The Texas left tackle.
That's right.
Big Z has Mykael Williams, the Georgia pass rusher.
Yeah.
And you and I have them taking tight ends the way the board will fall. I know they're not predictions, Molly.
Yeah.
I'm just saying predictions.
No, it's like that's not the guys. Those aren't the players I want. I just feel like
– reading the board.
I hate to say it. Luxury pick with the 10th pick.
It is a luxury pick.
And
both of us have them kind of getting luxury items.
Yeah, I like that Dan's going more meat and potatoes on us.
Third offensive tackle, though.
Yeah, but I mean first left tackle. Or is he?
Or is he?
Yeah.
Will Campbell plays left tackle, sir.
I know, but can he in the NFL?
Okay.
33-inch arms.
Continue the talk when we get back.
312-644-6767. Mully and Haw on the score.
Mully and Haw flashback.
Flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
It's significant enough that he's not even in the discussion, even if Will Campbell and Armin Membu are not available for the Bears at 10. I know the ideal might be, hey, let's grab a tackle, but you're reaching at that point. I think he's a borderline first rounder. Not many agree with that, but we've evaluated him inside and out for multiple years now. And I think that this happens a lot in the evaluation. This was a top-notch recruit that had a really good true freshman season, had a great tape against Will Anderson back in 2022. And some people start making their decision up at that point. Oh, this guy's a freshman. He's going to be a great player. But to me, he never ascended that high from that level. He didn't get much better. A lot of his tape against his best competition in 2024 was poor, to put it bluntly. And that's the tape that matters the most to me in my evaluation, is how do you match up against a Jalen Walker from Georgia? Because guess what? That's who you're playing against every week.
Welcome back. It's Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That was the voice of our lad's draft expert, David Sivertson, last week, evaluating Kelvin Banks Jr. Didn't sound overly impressed. Didn't sound like he was the guy in the conversation for the Bears' 10th overall pick. Yes, the same Kelvin Banks Jr. that Dan Wiederer just told us he would draft if he were there. That, to me, represents, number one, why the draft is so fascinating, but also what this year feels like, as wide of a disparity, as wide of a range of opinions on first-round draft picks, guys in the top 15, if you will, that I can remember. And I know that's probably recency bias, Molly, and I think it probably, there are tons of opinions offered every year. It is an industry now. The draft, the NFL draft, is an industry full of respected professionals who do their jobs well, diligently. I just can't believe that there's one guy that thinks, that does this for a living, that Kelvin Banks Jr. shouldn't even be in the discussion. And another guy who covers the team says, and he's not the only one, that he would be the guy that he would select if they stay at number 10.
Yeah, you know, listen, that is the case oftentimes with draft picks, where there is a very strong difference in opinions. The things that are always fascinating to me are guys also like, who's the kid, Josh Simmons from Ohio State.
Yes.
Did you see he got some good news, apparently?
He
had a patellar tendon.
He's an interesting prospect.
That ended his season. Mm-hmm. But he apparently has been cleared in his back and will be ready to kind of go. He's advanced faster and farther, and he'll be ready for draft night, and then we'll be able to take part in your rookie minicamp and play. Should have no limitations.
He is a great example.
Yeah.
People haven't really been talking about him that much. He might be the fifth-rated offensive tackle on some boards.
Yeah, he could be a first-round pick.
I talked to Joshua Perry yesterday at the Chicago Sports Network, who is an Ohio State graduate.
Knows those guys inside and out.
And talked about how Josh Simmons, his positional versatility, his ability, his ceiling being as high as it is, despite the injury. And if he is clean medically, then he's going to make somebody very happy and some general manager look very smart.
Yeah, I think that is kind of, you know, that's whenever we talk about guys and their ability and their long-term prognosis, it's always health-related. And that's one of the reasons you love the idea of, like, the bigger, stronger, better. There are plenty of examples of undersized guys who have excelled at positions and had great careers and gone on to make the Hall of Fame. But there are also...
Did you just reference Steve McMichael on purpose?
No, I didn't. I mean, that's a good example.
On this day especially, it's worth remembering that guys who you just described, he was one of those guys. 191 starts,
yes.
Consecutive games, 6'2", 270.
Yeah.
Defensive tackle.
I mean, maybe 262 when he came in. I'm just saying, that was a different era. Those guys, there weren't... On that Bears team that won the Super Bowl, the 85, the only Bears team that won the Super Bowl, there was one 300-pound player on the entire team.
They called him the Fridge. He's the rookie.
And he was only, like, what, 310 or 320 or something? We've had 400-pound players
exactly.
in the NFL.
But what you're saying and your point is well taken as it relates to this year's draft. Durability is one of the things that you're really looking for. And if you can get a guy, I don't know if you're thinking of Mason Graham, but like that...
See,
goodness sakes, that would be a value
pick. Look at the size of that guy.
Yes.
And that guy has been a great player. His sophomore year, he looked like he could come into the NFL. They won the national championship. he's a monster. And, you know, there's a guy that that obviously will go in the top 10.
Character guy, productive guy.
Might be the highest upside in the draft.
And if the Bears do move up to draft somebody, don't be surprised if it's him. We'll talk about those scenarios when we come back because there's a lot of stuff flying around.
All right, 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.